This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holdsworth is the founder and president at virginiatomorrow.com, joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. Bob, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Coy. How have you been?
Very good. So your reaction to the ruling today, the opinion, Judge Paul Petros in Charlottesville, it seems to be not quite a victory for Ken Cuccinelli, and yet he very quickly spun it as a victory.
Well, it really looks like a defeat for Ken Cuccinelli, but what he is arguing here is that he's going to be able to go back and put forward a new investigative request that he argues will be consistent with the guidelines put forward by the court today. Now, my sense is that it's going to be not so easy to do that, or at least not so easy to do that without inviting a further court contest. I'm not sure how the University of Virginia can disagree with one request and then essentially accept the next one that comes, which Cuccinelli is arguing will essentially do the same thing. So this is going to be very interesting. It looks like Chapter 1 in a longer battle, and my sense is that we may be back in court again.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website. And, of course, all of this, Bob, I was talking earlier in the program that this really comes just the latest in a series of headlines, and as you wrote recently, Virginia's not used to an attorney general like this.
Now, this is what I would call sort of a conservative version of Andrew Cuomo in New York, who used that role very effectively, you might say, as a platform on which to gain even greater visibility and prominence, largely by arguing in New York, against certain corporate practices. But what Ken Cuccinelli has done, again, far more visibly than we've ever seen out of a Virginia attorney general, is to find a way to use the request for opinions or his own investigative powers to really highlight a set of hot-button political issues that are very appealing, I might say, to the Republican base.
And certainly positions him as the standard bearer for the conservative flag, right?
Yeah. I mean, the question now is really becoming, what does he want to do with it? Does he want to try to, upset the arrangement that was made in prior to 2009 that anointed Bill Bowling as Bob McDonnell's successor as a Republican nominee and get into that fight? Does he want to run for Senate against Mark Warner in 2014? But we've rarely seen a Republican attorney general or a Democratic attorney general with this kind of national prominence in Virginia. And Cuccinelli is, I think, Coy, developing a fundraising base that goes beyond Virginia. He might not be very popular with the Virginia business community for all of this aggressiveness, though in some instances I think he probably will be popular. But overall, I think what he's done is to redefine the role of attorney general. And that may be, in one way, what the ultimate question is about all these court cases. What happens if he continues to lose? Will this be a case where, Vince Lombardi's adage that winning is, the only thing really doesn't matter? Or at the end of the day, will he in some ways diminish the moral authority of the Attorney General's office by having suits in court that you don't win?
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Speaking of one of those opinions recently, tell us about the significance of the Bob Marshall, Delegate Bob Marshall, asking for a ruling about regulating abortion clinics in Virginia.
Well, what's happening here, Coy, and it's very deliberate on Delegate Bob Marshall's part, who's one of the most prominent social conservatives in Virginia, very smart man. What Marshall has done is that he has understood that by asking for an attorney general's opinion, and if you do it on a clear, hot-button, high-profile political issue, when that opinion comes out, the opinion itself makes headlines. So what Bob Marshall has done is to use this, what you might call RFO process, the request for opinion, as a way of highlighting issues, including some where he was ultimately unsuccessful in the General Assembly. So Marshall and other pro-life advocates for years have argued that abortion clinics are not regulated sufficiently as facilities. They should be regulated as other kind of surgical facilities. They've never been able to get that passed in the Assembly and signed by a governor in Virginia. But now he makes a request for opinion to Ken Cuccinelli, and Ken Cuccinelli essentially says that it would be fine for the McDonnell administration to do administratively what they were unsuccessful in getting passed and signed through the legislative process. So this is another big issue, and it's one where Marshall saw this opportunity by asking for the opinion request. Cuccinelli responded, and it turns out to serve both of their interests very well. For Bob Marshall, it enables him to become one of the most visible delegates in the off-season of any, Virginia General Assembly session that I've ever seen. And for Ken Cuccinelli, it gives him the platform to make statements and assertions and policy recommendations about high-profile issues that attorney generals have rarely done before. So I think everyone has to pay attention to this request for opinion process because it's a new element, you might say, in the political playbook in Virginia, particularly in the comprehensive and politically creative way that Bob Marshall has deployed it.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. It's must reading if you want to stay in touch with the very latest in Virginia politics. Bob, why are the state computers making headlines? They've closed the DMV down. And what is all this? What is going on?
Well, you know, they had another kind of, you know, the ongoing Vita mess continued in a new manifestation this last week and earlier today. What happened is that apparently some circuit board outages have made it unable for DMV to process driver's license applications. This is certainly an inconvenience to thousands of Virginians, but politically, it's a challenge for Governor Bob McDonnell, because McDonnell made his recommendations about how Vita ought to be organized. Most of them were accepted. He didn't do the kind of radical surgery that some people had advocated. So in essence, Vita is now Governor McDonnell's baby. And Governor McDonnell prides himself on managerial competence, getting things done in an expeditious and pragmatic way. And the last thing he's going to want is to have a Vita mess that goes on for another year or two.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Chris is on the line in Earliesville. Chris, you're on with Bob Holsworth. Go right ahead.
Okay, thanks. This is a very big-picture question, so I'm not expecting a real definitive answer, but I just want to get your thoughts on it anyway. In the last election, it seemed like the demographics are all headed towards the Democrats, at least for now, in terms of younger voters and the more, let's say, diverse group, and it's kind of against, let's say, anti-social conservatives. And since then, the Republicans have sort of responded by going more towards their base and moving even farther to the right. And my question is, when do you think the fruits of this decision will start to show themselves? As early as this next election, or are there too many other issues going on with the economy and things like that?
Yeah, but boy, that's a great question, Chris. Again, I don't have the definitive answer to that quite, but I think Chris makes a very good point that, the Republicans have certainly done an awful lot to energize the base. And the reason they've done that is they believe that the electorate in 2010 is going to be a very different one from 2008, or one of the reasons they've done that. And that is, they believe that it's the Republican base that's going to be energized to come out and vote. And if any of the polls are accurate, that's probably not a bad forecast right now. So the question is, will this be a useful strategy in 2012, or will it backfire on the Republicans in 2012? And the question there is going to be a little bit different, because right now they're simply running against Washington, running against the Congress, running against President Obama. In 2012, they have to have their own person. They have to have a choice. You know, there's going to be an individual who's going to represent the alternative to President Obama. And if that individual isn't able to appeal to moderate and independent voters, it's not so clear the Republicans would win that race. So my sense is that it's an excellent question. I tend to think that the driver in 2010 is likely to be the economic malaise and discontent with Washington. Though I would say, and I was just speaking with some individuals today, that if the Republicans have a problem in 2010, is that in a number of cases, I think their primaries have resulted in candidates who may not necessarily be the absolute strongest candidates to fight against the Democrats. So it could manifest itself somewhat in 2010. The Democrats are going to lose seats in both houses, and the only real question right now is how many.
Chris, thanks for the call. Great question, and we got a line open at 977-1070. Bob, two quick transportation questions. One has to do with privatizing the ABC stores and its link to transportation, and the other is the latest on high-speed rail.
Well, you know, when we take a look at transportation, particularly this issue of as it relates to privatization, Governor McDonnell has said going to use a number of the dollars from ABC privatization, particularly the one-time hit, to make a big one-time hit on Virginia's transportation problem. And that's probably a pretty smart thing for the governor to do. But at least up until recently, Coy, the administration hadn't been able to really mobilize too much grassroots support on behalf of ABC privatization. For as many people who think that it might be a good idea, the opponents of ABC privatization are more organized and more, what you might say, strident about or vocal, let's not say strident, about their position. And so the challenge the governor has faced is trying to find a political coalition in favor of ABC privatization when the opponents, whether it be liberals who don't want to give them a political victory, whether people are saying there's too much profit already going to the state, or social conservatives who don't like the prospect of opening up liquor to private advertising, governors have a dilemma. So last week what happened is a prominent Northern Virginia Transportation Council came out and said it was in favor of privatization, and the governor is going to need a lot more of that if he's ultimately going to win the battle in the assembly. He's going to have to find a way to connect his privatization to actually making votes for funding roads. And if he doesn't do that, I think there's going to be not much of a cost to a no vote, and it's going to make it a lot easier for his opponents to prevail.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. I just think it's such a no-brainer that, you know, the state has no business selling liquor and running stores and employing people to sell liquor. It's just such an anachronism from Prohibition. It's just crazy.
It's kind of odd to me. You know, it just seems to be something that is very difficult to defend philosophically. But on the other hand, there are a number of people in you know, the Democratic Party who simply don't want to give a victory to the governor, and who believe that if you privatize liquor, a lot of bad things could happen. There are a number of social conservatives, including someone like Lacey Putney, a very, very powerful member of the House, the independent, Republican-leaning chair of appropriations, and he said he's not convinced yet. So clearly the governor is making an enormous effort here. He's doing all these town halls across the state. They've tried to respond to every argument their opponents have put forward. But they still got a ways to go politically to close the deal here, and they're hoping that maybe the transportation argument can be helpful. But who knows? You know, Senator Majority Leader Dick Sassflaw has already declared it dead on arrival. We'll see if that's the case.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, before we let you go, what's the latest on high-speed rail in Virginia? There was supposed to be federal money for that, right?
Well, there's some federal money, Coy, and that's been the big issue, that most of the federal money for high-speed rail actually went elsewhere. Florida got it, really didn't want it. North Carolina got more than we did. And the reality is that when you take a look at some of these federal funds flowing into various states, I've been surprised that so many of the high-profile ones didn't come to Virginia right away. you know, we didn't get Race to the Top money, and ultimately we decided now we're not even going to pursue it. You know, GIFCOM is closed. It's hard to imagine what they're thinking in the Obama administration. And Virginia was a swing state that was very important to the Democrats, and we've had a lot of trouble getting what we need.
Bob Holdsworth is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, always great to talk to you. Thank you, sir.
Hey, take care, Coy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.